Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of Jude, and today we're going to continue to go over what Jude taught about how to combat heresy. So let's open our Bibles and read Jude verses 17 through 21 again together. But you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saying to you, in the last time there will be mockers following after their own ungodly lusts. These are the ones who cause divisions, worldly-minded, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. Now, we're continuing to go over the way that Jude gave us to combat heresy, and that way is based upon the inspired words that Jude wrote to us in verse 20, build yourselves up on your most holy faith. And as we have already seen, there are 10 separate biblical keys to do this. So let's go over the list. First is prayer, then there's Bible study, then godly fellowship, then obedience, then being filled with the Spirit, then confession, then there's love, trust, witnessing, and finally discernment. And we've gone over the first 6 items, and today I want to look at the 7th way that will help us build ourselves up on our most holy faith, and that is love. Now, everything that we do as believers should be based in love. Love for God, love for God's Word, love for God's church, love for God's ways, love for God's people, and love for the sinner. But we live in a time when the word love, like a lot of other words in our day, have been changed to mean something entirely different from what the Lord intended it to mean. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. When Moses received the law of God carved into tables of stone with the very finger of God, there were only 10 commandments. By the time that Jesus walked the earth, the legal traditions of the rabbis totaled in the many hundreds. Now, there's absolutely no way that a human being can keep thousands of laws perfectly, so the Jewish leaders made a compromise with the people and divided all their rules into 2 groups. One group was called heavy laws, those laws which were mandatory, and the other group were called light laws, which contained all the things that were good but not mandatory. Some rabbis even went further and taught that if a man selected just one great precept to observe in his whole life, he was then free to disregard all the rest. And it was in this setting that a lawyer came to Jesus in Matthew 22, verse 36, and asked the Lord, Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Now, we must understand that this lawyer was not trying to get Jesus to teach him great wisdom. No, this lawyer was simply trying to trap Jesus into saying something that he could use later on against him. But our Lord knew his heart and gave him this profound answer. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these 2 commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. So, in this passage, Jesus Christ was establishing love to be the greatest of all spiritual virtues. But please notice that it wasn't just any love, because Jesus also in this passage divided one love from the other love and showed that not all love is the same. Jesus made it clear that not simply generic love, but love for God is the highest spiritual virtue that can be attained on earth. And the second highest virtue is love for our neighbor. Paul also echoed this truth in 1 Corinthians 13:13 when he said, But now faith, hope, love abide, these 3. but the greatest of these is love. Once again, Paul made a distinction between love for God and other loves that we may have by clearly teaching that it is love for God Himself that is the superior love and one that we should all aspire to. For example, we say today that we love certain foods and that we love certain clothes and we love certain songs and certain people and we love certain movies and certain animals and certain objects. And then we say that we love our wife or our husband. But don't we love our spouses differently than we love those other things? And then we say we love God, but don't we love God differently than we love even our spouses? And the point that I'm making is that all love is not the same love. Jesus said that love for the person of Almighty God, love for God Himself, is the highest spiritual virtue that we can attain in this life. The Bible teaches that our love for God should supersede the love that we have for anything else and everyone else. Now, this doesn't mean that we cannot love other things, but it does mean that we are wrong if we love anything else or anyone else more or even the same that we love God. To love anything or anyone as much as we love God is, in biblical terms, idolatry, and that is a wicked sin. God must always come before anything or anyone in our lives, and by default, that makes the love that we are to have for God an exclusive love, a love that is reserved solely and only for Him. Our allegiance to God, our faithfulness to God, our devotion to God, and our willingness to obey and serve and follow God, especially in hard and difficult times, is all based in this kind of exclusive love. So that makes every other love that we have, every other category of love that we possess, to be secondary and inferior to the love that we are to have for God and for God alone. No one else can share in our exclusive love for Almighty God. It is this kind of exclusive love which will make you strong, because this kind of love reserved only for God will not only make you love God, but it will also cause you to love and value and appreciate and respect the things of God, like God's Word and God's ways. For example, this exclusionary love for God will cause you to respect and value and appreciate the narrowness of the path that God has placed you on. Lukewarm and backslid people despise this narrow path and always seek to find ways to enlarge the narrow path. They seek to make the narrowness of the path wider so they can serve God on their terms and feel comforted about themselves, even in their sins. But when you fall in love with Jesus, you do not seek to widen the path, but you appreciate its narrowness. This kind of exclusionary love for God will also bring you to a place of humble submission to the Word of God, because you realize that it is not the Word of man, but it is the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of the living God that you love to the exclusion of all others. So if you really love God, you are very careful to submit yourself to the supreme authority of on that which God has said. And because you love God, you are then willing to read His Word and to study His Word and learn how to interpret His Word correctly. And then because you know that it is a terrible sin to know God's Word and understand God's Word and yet not live God's Word, because you love God, you prayerfully, with fear and trembling, apply God's precious Word to your own personal life so that you will be sure to obey it. My brothers and sisters, we must all realize that ultimately, talk is cheap. And the only real way that any human being has of proving that he does in fact love God is through obeying God. Jesus put it this way in John 14:15, when he said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Now, I have said this many times on these broadcasts, but it needs to be said again. It is a false teaching which says that any of us can love God while we are living continually in abject rebellion to God. If you think God receives your love simply because you periodically say the right words while your life is in direct opposition to Him, if you think that is the definition of this exclusive love, then you are deceived. My fellow Christians, whatever sin we choose to participate in, is what we love more than we love God. Whatever thing or activity that absorbs most of our time, most of our devotion, our money and our concerns and our energy, and which gives us the most joy and the most satisfaction, make no mistake about it, that is what we truly love. Now, even though it is true that God never changes, over time all languages go through changes. The English language is in a constant state of flux. For example, when I was a little boy, the word gay meant happy. Today it has to do with being sexually perverted. When I was a little boy, if someone said that something was bad, they meant it was harmful. Today, bad means cool or good. So because that is true, we have to be careful that when we use biblical words, that we are using these words in the same way that God used them when He inspired them to be written. Never has this been more true than with the word love. Today the word love does not mean that exclusive type of devotion and submission to God alone, but the word love means almost anything except that. Many use the word love today when they do not want to have to stand up and be counted, such as when people say that we do not need sound biblical doctrine, we just need love. That statement is nonsense on the surface. True love, the kind of exclusive devotion and submission to God alone, craves biblical truth, and it hates anything associated with error. So true love always adheres to truth and never joins itself to anything that diminishes truth. God demands that we worship Him and Him alone. If we do not know sound doctrine, we cannot assure that we are worshiping God alone and are faithful to what He has said. So true love causes all of us to learn and believe and defend and teach sound biblical truth. But the word love has been perverted in many other ways. Today, in the name of love, parents do not discipline rebellious children, and church leaders don't discipline unrepentant members. But that's not love. That is simply an abdication of parental and leadership responsibility. In the name of love, we pay strong, healthy young men not to work. But that's not love either. It's promoting disrespect and laziness and lawlessness among young males. In the name of love, we have a 70% illegitimate birth rate among minorities and a 35% illegitimate birth rate among Caucasians. And that's not love either. It's just unfettered lust. And beloved, we are told today that it is unloving and even unchristian to criticize anyone about anything concerning their teachings or their theology, even if that criticism is warranted. We are told that as long as someone is sincere or passionate, that it really doesn't matter what they teach or if they're biblically correct. But brothers and sisters, that's not love. That's a lie. Some things are wrong, and some things deserve to be exposed and pointed out and condemned as being lies and false teaching and incorrect interpretations of Scripture by those who do love and who do serve God. So we need love in our hearts and in our lives and in our ministries and in our churches, but the highest and most supreme form of that love is not a willingness to allow sin to increase, but an exclusive devotion and submission to the one true living God with all of our hearts, with all of our souls, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength, and that we love our neighbor to the same extent that we love ourselves. And this is the kind of love that will make us strong in the Christian faith. Well, I'm going to have to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the Epistle of Jude. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the Internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time. May the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.